We'll turn, please, this evening to the book of Habakkuk and to the chapter number 1. Habakkuk chapter number 1. We want to do a short series on this book. Martin Lloyd-Jones has a very, very good book on Habakkuk, and he calls it From Fear to Faith. From Fear to Faith. And really, that's the prophet Habakkuk's experience. Just to show you the purpose, really, of why we want to do this study. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save? And we find in chapter 1, Habakkuk, he's wondering about what God is doing in his life. His faith is wavering. His faith is wavering. But in chapter 2, verse 1, we then read, I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And so we find then in chapter 2, the prophet's heart has changed. Chapter 1, he was wavering, but in chapter 2, he's watching. He's now watching for the answer. Something has changed. The Lord has strengthened his faith, and he's now watching to see what God would do. And then, of course, those well-known verses at the end of chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and so on. As we then find at the end of the book, he has gone from wavering in chapter 1 to watching in chapter 2, then to worshipping in chapter 3. So you think about that just for a moment. Chapter 1, he's wondering, what is God doing in his life? But by the end of chapter 3, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. So what we really want to do for the next few weeks in the prayer meeting is just take this journey with Habakkuk, see what the Lord does with him, see how the Lord strengthens his faith. It's a very, very interesting book, because although it is a prophecy of Habakkuk's, really it is actually Habakkuk praying to God, God then answering Habakkuk, Habakkuk then praying again to the Lord then answers Habakkuk, and then we find at the end of it how he lives in light of this dialogue. So really it is actually Habakkuk's prayer life with the Lord, summarized, of course. If it was everything, well, it would only be 5 or 10 minutes of a prayer. But it is summarized. But it's a very, very interesting thing. Usually prophecies, prophets, they're a message to the people. But the book of Habakkuk is actually Habakkuk praying to God, and God then responding. We want to look at the first 5 verses of Habakkuk chapter 1 this evening, and we'll read those. We'll actually read the first 11 verses just to help us get context. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvellously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For, lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over, and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. And we'll end reading there at verse number 11. Amen. Verses 1 to 5. Verses 1 to 4 really are Habakkuk's prayer. And then verse 5 is the start of God's answer. And that all goes all the way to verse 11. But we really just want to look at verses 1 to 5 this evening. But verse 2 sums it all up. Habakkuk's in prayer to the Lord. And he says very, very striking words. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save. A university class was having their 20-year reunion after studying together. Two friends who had studied psychiatry together but had lost touch were talking at this meeting once again. They were talking, they were both the same age, they had both studied psychiatry together. But one looked very, very vibrant and very vigorous, and the other, he looked very, very withered and worried. They both started at the same time, both finished at the same time, were both around the same age. But one looked much older and one looked much younger. The older one went to the younger looking one and he said, well, what's your secret? We started together, we finished together, we've been practicing psychiatry for 20 years. We've been listening to other people's problems every day. And it's made an old man of me, but it hasn't made an old man of you. What's your secret? The younger one wasn't listening. And he basically just dismissed it and said, so what? Who cares or listens anyway? One of the age-old problems that sometimes believers face is the thought that God is not listening to their prayers. Whenever, as a sinner, you embrace Jesus Christ, your basic problem is dealt with. You have a sin problem, and that sinful problem, the problem of sin, is dealt with through the Lord Jesus Christ. But with the dealing of that problem comes a host of all other problems that you've never faced before. Problems as a believer, such like, why do the wicked often win? Why, if I'm faithful, is this happening to me at this particular time of my life? Why, if I'm persistent in prayer, does it seem that God is not listening? Often as a believer, we have the attitude of the young psychiatrist, so what? Who listens anyway? And if you're feeling like that this evening, there is encouragement for you, because this is exactly how Habakkuk felt. The name Habakkuk, it means embracer. Habakkuk was a prophet. He was a believer. He was someone who embraced God. And the book is all about him embracing God in the place of prayer. But for all of this, the fact that he was faithful, the fact that he was an embracer of God, he stated in verse 2, how long, O God, shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. He felt as though God was not listening to his prayers. The time in which Habakkuk lived was a very, very dark hour. He ministered at the same time as Jeremiah. And so he was a prophet to the nation of Judah just before they were about to go into captivity through the heel of Babylon. Habakkuk, he looked on. He saw the problem. He saw the fact that his beloved Judah was about to fall into sin, and we find that he took this to God in prayer. And we find that the book of Habakkuk is actually an insight to the personal dialogue between Habakkuk and God. What he prayed, what God said, and then how he responded. And here in the first five verses, Habakkuk is grappling with the age-old problem, the problem of God not listening to prayer. You see, whilst God is forever listening, we sometimes feel that he forgets to listen. There are some times in your experience as a believer, when you feel as if God's not listening. I wonder, you there this evening? Maybe you've been praying for a long time. Weeks, months, years, decades. Perhaps for a loved one. Maybe there's a personal trial in your life and you say like Habakkuk, how long, O God, will I cry unto thee, but thou wilt not hear? You've been praying, pleading, persisting, but it seems as if God is not listening. Well, that's exactly where Habakkuk was. It's also where Job was. You think of the tremendous affliction that Job suffered, lost his family, lost his friends, lost his fortune. And yet in Job 21 verse 15 we read, "What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" You see what Job is saying here? What profit is it if I pray? And it seems that Job, looking at his affliction, looking at all that he faced, he was obviously giving the matter to God in prayer, but God wasn't listening. God wasn't listening to his prayer. And so he came to the conclusion, what profit is it if I pray? It's of no profit because God doesn't listen. And although prayer is profitable, there are times when you feel it's profitless. There are experiences when you feel like it is of no benefit, no value to pray. When are you there? You feel as if you're praying about something, but it's going nowhere. And it's profitless. There's no point in praying because God doesn't listen. Well, this is where Habakkuk was. This is where we find him in the opening verses of chapter 1. And so the subject I want to consider this evening is Habakkuk's unanswered praying. Habakkuk's unanswered praying. I want you to see firstly here the darkness that prompted him. The darkness that prompted him. Verse 1, we simply read the burden which Habakkuk did see. He saw a burden. He saw a burden. The word burden here, it means vision. And obviously God came to him in verse 1 and God gave him a vision. And Habakkuk actually saw this vision. But the word burden, it means something else. In the Old Testament, and the Hebrew word here, it refers to a load that someone would carry. A heavy load, something that would weigh you down. And so Habakkuk, he saw what God was doing. God came to him, gave him a vision, but it weighed him down. Yes, he saw this vision, but it was like he was carrying the contents all around with him. What was it that burdened Habakkuk? Well, he lived in a dark hour. He received this prophecy when Jehoiakim was king. Of course, Jehoiakim was the son of King Josiah. And it was the time in the history of the nation of Judah whenever they would fall into captivity through the Babylonians. And so it was literally the day before destruction. I want you to see this because this is very important. Israel, or the children of Judah, had just come out of spiritual revival. You remember Josiah, how he took the book of God, how he opened the book of God, and then how he, as it were, sought to lead the nation through the book of God. And of course, there was revival in Judah. But then he passed away. And then Jehoiakim took over. And this country that was once in revival was now sadly in spiritual recession. Habakkuk, he ministered at the same time as the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 36, we find Jeremiah tells Baruch the scribe to take the law, take the book of God, and read it to King Jehoiakim. He saw how he was acting, saw how he was behaving, saw how he was governing the land. And he said, look, go, read the book and make sure that he listens and that he governs the country according to the law of God. What did King Jehoiakim do? The son of Josiah. He took a knife. He took the knife to the Bible and literally tore it through the scriptures. And Habakkuk sees this. Habakkuk feels this. He knows what type of man the king is. And here we find him in a day just before destruction, and he sees the burden, the vision of his once revived country now about to be judged. Now about to be judged under the Babylonian captivity. And what does he do? He takes this burden to prayer. The burden which Habakkuk did see. And then verses 2 to 4, we find that he took this burden to God in prayer. The barrenness of our country should lead to a burden for our country. It should lead to brokenness for our land. Do you not see the parallels between Judah as Habakkuk prophesied and Ulster today? Just like Judah, we once knew revival. You only have to look back to 1859 to know the revival that came through the Presbyterian Church. Then you look at the revival in the 20s and 30s through W.P. Nicholson. Even think of more recent times and many traces of revival amongst our own denomination. But now we are living spiritually in days just like Habakkuk was living. We are not living in revival, we're living in spiritual recession. Wonder tonight, will you carry that burden like the embracer Habakkuk and carry it to the Lord in prayer? Verses 2 to 4, it flows from verse 1. He takes this burden to the Lord in prayer. He offloads it to God in prayer. Wonder, will you take up the mantle of Habakkuk and bear the burden before the Lord in prayer? We think of other men who were burdened in Scripture. Think of Christ, how he wept over the city of Jerusalem. Think even of Nehemiah, as he heard the news that the place was completely ransacked, Jerusalem, and he was in the palace. And we find that he sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and then he prayed to the God of heaven. And as well as speaking to sinners, we need to speak to God about sinners. We need to sit down and pray for them. Wonder this evening, does the nation's plight really concern you? Just like Habakkuk. Can you say that it's a burden? Something that weighs you down, something that bothers you, something that would break you, something that would lead you to pray to the Lord. This is where Habakkuk was. I see what you're doing, Lord. I see it. You've showed me that the Babylonians are coming. They're going to judge our land. Lord, do something about it. Lord, intervene. Samuel Rutherford was an extremely godly man. He was a Scottish pastor in the 1600s. He studied theology in Edinburgh, and he was then called to a rural parish, age 27, named Anwath. He kept a diary every day, and it was said that in this diary he rose at 3 a.m. He devoted many hours to praying for his parish. And he wrote in one occasion, after going out to the meadows, "There I wrestled with the angel and prevailed. Woods, trees, meadows and hills are my witnesses that I drew on a fair meeting between Christ and Anwath." He was burdened. Saw the people that he ministered to, the people that he preached to, and he took it to the Lord in prayer. It moved him to try and move God. C.H. Spurgeon said, "The best thermometer of our spiritual temperature is the intensity of our prayers." That's challenging, isn't it? The best thermometer, spiritually speaking, of our prayers is the intensity of our prayers. Wonder, does the nation's plight move you and break you? Because this is where Habakkuk was. The brokenness, the darkness that prompted him. But I want you to see, secondly, here the degradation that perplexed him. The degradation that perplexed him. Verses 3 and 4 we read, "Why dost thou show me iniquity? Cause me to behold grievance. For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceeded." Whilst the children of Judah had a sinful king who hated the book of God, they themselves were no better. Verses 3 and 4, we find Habakkuk looking out at the nation, and look what he saw. He saw a nation literally disintegrating before his very eyes. He looked on, and it seemed that the righteous were losing, and the wicked were winning. Look at verse 3, it said it was a grievance to him. This means it was wearisome. He then said there was spoiling in verse 3. What does this mean? This means open robbery. Open, unchallenged robbery. As he looked out in Judah, he saw individuals coming, taking something that didn't belong to them, and getting away with it. There was open robbery within the streets. He also saw strife and contention. Just simply means endless fighting and endless bickering. What a sight that he saw. As he looked out on the streets of Jerusalem and the country, the nation of Judah, what a sight he saw. people fighting for the sake of it, people bickering over small things, this and that. And because of this, in verse 4, he stated that the law is slacked. The word slacked there, it means to grow cold in the Hebrew. And the law here refers to the Old Testament at large. What was he saying? He was saying the Old Testament, the law, it was growing cold in the sense that people's love for it was growing cold. And he then stated and summed it all up by saying at the end of verse 4, wrong judgment proceedeth. Judges in the land, the cases were coming to them. They knew what was right, they knew what was wrong. But because of fear, they executed justice unfairly. And if they did execute justice, they always seemed to fall short. Wrong judgment proceedeth. What a sight Habakkuk saw. As he looked out, he saw people fighting for the sake of it. He saw judges that were caving under pressure. He saw people given over to robbery just for the sake of it. He saw the fact that the wicked were winning and the righteous were losing. Do you not see the similarity? Today we have anarchy in the land, apostasy in the pulpit, and apathy amongst believers. And I wonder, like Habakkuk, do you look on and again do you see the similarities? You look at society today and you usually find people are bickering over this and that, and it's for nothing. Nothing. You think of even the case last week and how the judge made his ruling, even in that rugby case, and how he made his ruling. And I do not agree at all with the young lads and the sin that they were caught up in, the sin of adultery. But the judge made his ruling and people are bickering, people are fighting over the judge's ruling. It is so symptomatic of society. There is the coldness, that lack of love for the Lord. There is a petty bickering about this and that. And the child of God may be tempted to look on like Habakkuk and say, why? Say, Lord, why are you permitting this? Why are you allowing this to happen? You know there's a God in heaven, but you wonder why he's letting it all go. You think of Psalm 12. David prayed, help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful man fall from among the children of men. The godly man ceaseth. The godly man ceaseth. That's where we are today. You think of Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That's where we are today. Because individuals are not judged straight away, their heart is fully given over to evil. And we can look on and we can see it. And like Habakkuk, it can perplex us, it can discourage us, even cause us to doubt. Lord, are you really on the throne? Lord, if you're sovereign, why? Lord, if you're real, but. And so we find there was the darkness that prompted him and the degradation that perplexed him. But I want you to also see the dormancy that puzzled him. Verse 2, we read, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Habakkuk was a discouraged and a burdened man. He saw the Babylonians coming, and he knew that they were going to ransack the land. He knew they were about to break down Jerusalem's precious walls and ransack the temple. And Habakkuk was burdened. But you know, whilst all of this burdened Habakkuk, there was something that burdened Habakkuk more. And that was this, that he had been praying that God would intervene for it seems such a long time. But God wasn't doing anything about it. You look at verse 2, how long shall I cry unto thee and thou wilt not hear? He says, look, Lord, you see what's happening in the nation. You see people fighting. You see open robbery. You see judges caving in, not executing judgment. And Lord, I'm praying about this, that you'll intervene. How long, O God, should I cry unto thee? But Lord, you won't hear. even cry out of violence, and thou wilt not save. And there was the greater perplexity to him that he had been praying to God about it for some time, but God wasn't listening to his prayers. And whilst people's sins are a burden, God's silence is also a burden. You're often puzzled at a silent God. Wonder, are you like Habakkuk this evening? And you're praying about a matter, and you're saying, Lord, it's time for thee to work. Lord, we look at the nation, we look at the land, and we see it's just like Habakkuk's day. And we've been praying, haven't we? Praying for revival, pray that God will intervene. But it seems he's not. And so there is this perplexity that God seems to be inactive, God seems to be indifferent, that it seems that he isn't listening, or if he is listening, that he's not doing anything about it. And that is exactly how you read of other individuals feeling about as well. Revelation 6 verse 10. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And here's John, and he looks into the future. And he sees individuals who have been martyred for their faith. And they're looking down on earth, and it seems they're praying for God to intervene. They see the violence, they see the sin, they see the wickedness, and they're saying, Lord, how long? How long is it until you come and execute justice? How long, O Lord, will it be until you come and avenge your own people? Tribulation will often lead to testing. It will lead to the cry, how long? You there this evening? Think that God's inactive, God's indignant, that God's indifferent, that God is not listening, that he is unheeding. You say, what am I to do? Well, keep telling him. How long implies that it was prolonged. Lord, how long? He had kept bringing this burden to the Lord in prayer. And even though he felt like the Lord wasn't going to answer, Habakkuk was going to be surprised.